Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our fourth and final installment of the RHAEP Rewind in the month of February, talking about Pirate Master. We are talking about episodes 12, 13, and a supersized episode 14, the grand finale. And we are about to bring this ship into the dock here with a man who I've gotten to talk with all month long, Aaron Robertson. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I realized that the true treasure was always right here.
It
on
was
Rob as a
right
podcast.
There the whole time.
The whole time.
The whole time. Was the friends we made along the way. Yes. Okay. Speaking of the friends we made along the way, one of your oldest and dearest friends is here with us today. Of course, if Aaron, you were the captain, we know that who you would have as your officers, it would be Nick Fishman and this man, Jordan Kalish.
Ahoy, mateys. How's it going?
The triad.
The new triad.
Basically, yeah.
Jordan Kalish is here, everybody.
Yes, I am excited. Pirate Master is a show that actually brought Aaron and
matey.
I together as friends.
Yes.
It is. It is.
And so you were both in the early days of RHAP. You were in the Facebook group that Jordan restarted today. And then, and you were just like, hey, anybody watch Pirate Master?
We just wanted to talk about old shows and what worked and didn't work about them. So Pirate Master was the first one that immediately came to mind. And somehow we found Azimuth and the rest was history from there.
Yeah. Okay. No Azimuth here today to talk about the final run of Pirate Master. And there's a lot to talk about here at the end. I have to say, I am not satisfied with how it all ended.
No, I got to say, like, in all of my years watching reality TV, look, is Pirate Master a show that I take as seriously as Survivor? No. If something like this happens on Survivor, where, like, the people who had been voted out came back and voted somebody out, I mean, it makes me mad when Edge of Extinction happens. So obviously that would make me mad. This is Pirate Master. It's not as serious, but still, it's one of the most frustrating things I've ever seen in a reality TV show. And it sticks to me to this day. Every time I think of Jay, he's like the, I don't know if you could consider him the Rob G. Otis of Pirate Master, but I think he's close.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do kind of feel even, and I have a hot take here. I do feel even if what happened did not happen, I still think we would have had the same result.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about it. Okay. Episode 12, 13 and 14 of Pirate Master. Jordan, will you be giving us a This Week in Pirate Master quiz at any point?
I did not have that planned. I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah. Of course, shout out to Liana, who was great on the last Pirate Master recap from last week. You could subscribe to the RHAP Rewind feed if you missed any of that. robvisitwebsite.com/RHAP Rewind. And we just announced last night we have a real treat coming to the RHAP Rewind in March. It's going to be Listener Choice Month. I am going to be watching the first episode of 5 different reality shows over the course of March. It's going to come in like a lion and it's going to go out like, I don't know if it's going to go out like a lamb, but it is going to come in with 5 different shows that we will watch the premiere of. Myself and Chappelle are going to be watching 5 different shows in March, and whatever the fans vote for at the end of March is what we'll watch in April. So it's a little bit of a variety pack.
Interesting. I think it's a good idea. It's a little bit like pilot season-y in that you get the first episode of a bunch of different shows. And yeah, good idea. Put it in the hands of the listeners. We know what we want to see. So I'm excited to see which shows come up.
Yeah. So we will do that. So be on the lookout for our Twitter thread where we are going to go ahead and take your suggestions for what shows should we watch on Listener Choice Month in March on Rob Has a Podcast on the RHAP Rewind. All right. Episode number 12. We're down to the final five. We spend a lot of time with these characters over these last couple of episodes.
We really do. And because there's only five. So we can really kind of focus in. And this is the episode that I think this episode is my favorite. Just because of the baffling stuff that happens and the interpersonal relationships between everybody at the end here.
Yeah.
You finally start to see the breakdown of Ben, Jay, and Krista's relationship, which has really carried the game for a while at this point. But, you know, Jay's lies sort of start to catch up with him without really too many consequences, at least in this episode. But Ben really gets thrown under the bus here, as we see later on, as you know, all the pirates are pitching their case to Krista to not get the black spot.
Yeah, Jay, Ben, Krista, that's what it's all about here. Nobody is romantic, but it's a little bit of a love triangle of like who is Krista really tighter with? Is she tighter with Jay or is she tighter with Ben?
Yeah, I almost think it's like the devil you know versus the devil you don't know as well, because mm-hmm. Krista and Jay have been working together the whole game. She knows that Jay is a deceptive player, that Jay has probably been lying to her and to everybody on the ship, yet she knows him. And it's almost like when Dara, to bring it to, this is a good piratey reference, because Survivor Pearl Islands, Johnny Fairplay lies, but he tells the truth too. And I think that she figures, yes, Jay lies, but at least he sometimes tells the truth to her. So I think she goes with the person she's has a longer working relationship with.
Jordan, is it more like you versus the guy that she warned you about?
Yeah, that's I think that's a good comparison.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Let's talk about Jay and Ben. So they're talking. Jay didn't come here to make friends. Ben has a one-on-one with Krista. Aaron, Jay goes to sleep early. What's going on here?
Apparently, he just feels so relaxed and so very secure in his plan to get to the end that maybe he just doesn't need to stay up at all.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the kind of thing where like everything he's done on the ship has worked to this point where he maybe gets like a little bit comfortable where he's like, oh, it's just another round. It's going to work out again.
Yeah. Yep. He's got this whole thing on lock. It feels like that he's got Krista. She'll do what he says, but they talk and basically Ben is saying Jay's bad news. Krista says, checkmate. We got you, Jay.
They got him.
Yeah.
They compared notes, they compared stories, and they figured out Jay's the common denominator behind a lot of stuff that has happened on this ship. And they know how dangerous of a player that he is, especially because he's been not only good strategically, but good at finding these treasures on these expeditions thus far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we go to Laurel. Laurel gets a lot of airtime here in her boot episode. Laurel, she's just chilling.
I can't with Laurel here, because she said this whole game that she was just chilling. She's relaxed. Mm-hmm. She's not going to involve herself. Yet that is the very thing that sends her home. The moment she says something, she shoots herself in her own foot.
Mm-hmm.
Indirectly for doing that.
Yeah.
Are you referring to when she tells Krista about Ben?
Yes. Yeah. She definitely is the cause of her own demise here by getting involved. She should have followed her own mantra. Mm-hmm. She's doing so well.
Yeah. She gets involved. So that's basically Laurel, and she is going to be one of the five pirates who are going to go to the quarter deck to find out about the astronomer's treasure. Okay. The astronomer on the ship had a big role to play in hiding this treasure. Aaron, could you set up what is we're going to do here with our teams of the black team of Krista, Ben, and Jay versus team LL, Laurel, and Louie?
Well, Deb would have loved this challenge because it's all about rocks. Mm-hmm. It's all about piles of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, So once Cameron says fight for your flag, you know, they're split into the different crews. It's Benjay and Krista versus Louis and Laurel. They have to swim to shore instead of row. So Kendra, I guess, dodged a bullet here by getting eliminated right before this.
Yeah.
And once they swim to shore, they have to climb this steep hill and search in this crescent moon shaped formation for the first clue. And basically this clue says you have to go to the planet closest to the sun, and they have to choose a path that's going to lead to this clearing full of different rock formations in the shape of the different planet astronomy shapes.
Sure.
Yeah. So the black crew chose the wrong path at first, so that allowed the red crew to catch up to them. So they're all out in this clearing. They search this Mercury formation, the closest planet to the sun, and they find their next clue, which basically they put this puzzle together that tells them to go search the Saturn formation. And they spend a lot of time, both teams, looking for a Saturn. They can't find it. So they're both like, okay, let's go up higher and see if we can see it from up high. Lo and behold, the formation actually is up high, out of the way of everything else.
It was a good strategy by them.
So good.
So the black crew is able to search that. And it gives him the final clue, which says the red planet's arrow is pointing the way, and that the treasure is lying between Mars's arrow and Earth, essentially. So Jay lines up the center, digs, finds the treasure for the black crew.
All right. So congratulations, 30K. Krista will stay captain. And there we go. All right. So she will decide who will get the black spot. All right. But Ben and Krista have a talk about maybe they should finally put the black spot on Jay. But Aaron, is this like out of nowhere? Did Jay, like, I know Jay and Krista had been working together, but it seems like that, like, no, they weren't just working together. They're actually like best friends for their entire life.
Apparently they are. They are best friends. And I guess, you know, a key factor here that I guess hasn't come up is that they are the only two on the ship with kids. So that's a huge thing, especially being a parent, bonding over that. That's something that nobody else has. And so if you're bonding over something that nobody else has, it's going to be a lot tighter. So, you know, she's afraid to give Jay this black spot because he has two kids, you know, and she feels bad for them. She doesn't want to think that their dad is bad because they love him. And, you know, she doesn't want to send him home. But she's also like, well, when you're afraid, that's when you know you have to make this move because Jay is a threat here.
Yeah. If it's hard to do, maybe that means it's the right thing to do. So
the hardest things in life are sometimes the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Boy, don't
that
I know
sense.
It.
No. No sense.
Right. Okay. So Krista wants to tell Jay. I gotta talk to Jay about this. I gotta talk to him. And they bring Jay in to talk, and you know, Jay and Ben and Krista all sit down together, and Jay is trying to make it sound like, oh no, that was Ben's idea.
Yeah, I kind of think it was maybe not great for Ben that we had these three come together. I mean, I think it was Krista's idea. I don't know if there was any way to avoid it at that point. But if you have Krista in a room with Ben and Jay, like, who's the better talker? Who's the more persuasive player? It's Jay. And it's like a game of mafia, right? If somebody accuses you of being in the mafia, yes, it's a little bit sus to just like accuse them right back. But like, there was nothing Jay could have done here. And he's like, no, Ben, you were the one that brought it up. And it actually seems like Ben was bringing this up in front of other people because Laurel heard it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, actually, I don't think Jay went out of this conversation the victor here. I think Ben actually did come out on top here, because basically Jay is like, you know, you have to play both sides of the fence. You know, there's going to be discussions about you, Krista. Yes, Ben, I also threw you under the bus to Krista. So Jay is admitting that he's been lying to both Ben and also to Krista. And so it doesn't really help him that he's the only one that's saying that he's lied when Ben's like, no, I didn't talk about you, Krista.
Yeah. They're going back and forth, and eventually Ben gets alone with Krista, and he says, You think Mastermind McGee is telling you the truth? Jordan, that was Julie McGee's nickname, right?
Yeah, that was what everyone was calling her behind her back on San Juan del Sur, including John Rocker. John Rocker was like, yeah, my girlfriend, Mastermind McGee. We used to take the 4 train together. Or was it the 7 train? I think it was the 7 train.
It's the 7 train. To
it was the 7 train.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so Krista, she feels like that she's lost control. She promises Ben, you're not getting the black spot. Come on. No, no way I can give you the black spot.
No way.
But then she talks to Jay. And Jay like reels her back in. I don't know what is the hold that Jay had over her.
I don't know. I kind of get the sense that Jay is one of the few people on the season who maybe watched other reality shows. And I think I got that sense when we were talking to Azmuth, Aaron, years ago, where Azmuth was like, yeah, he sees the appeal of Jay. He was like, any all Survivor fans or like reality TV fans that have ever spoken to Azmuth about the show were Jay fans. Because they see themselves and they see Survivor contestants in Jay, where he, you know, he knows that it's a game. He knows that like he has to do whatever it takes to get the money and to get to the end. Because I don't think he knows the ridiculous final three rule at this point. Mm-hmm. So he's in his element here. He came to play a game more than anybody else, and he's going to say whatever it takes to get him off of the black spot, and it ends up working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he said, you know, for Jay's mantra has been, isolation is key to this game. You know, when people don't have anybody to talk to, I'm the person that's there. I'm in their ear. I'm going to be their confidant. So him doing that with Krista is allowing him to even turn things around, even when he is dead to rights. Like, by all means, he really should have been the person to leave this episode. And somehow, you know, he's able to, even despite admitting that he's, you know, done some lying and some deception, is still able to turn it around on Ben here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though. So I think a big factor was Laurel then going to to Krista and telling Krista, confirming what Jay said, that Ben was plotting against her. Whether Ben was lying in that moment or not, we don't know. I don't think if we still know the answer to that question. But from Krista's perspective, I don't get why she puts Laurel up after that, because if Laurel's the one, she clearly trusts Jay over Ben at this point, you would assume that she now trusts Laurel because she's following her guidance by giving Ben the black spot. But then she also gives one to Laurel. I don't get why she doesn't give one to Louie here. Like, why not make it Louie and Ben? And then no matter who goes home between those two, you either have Ben who lied to you, or you have Louie who's a big threat. And if you do have like a situation where ghost pirates come into play, which honestly, if Louis was at that final three, Louis's not getting any votes to go home. Mm-hmm. If Louis's at the final two, and I don't know how much of the rules they know, and I think that was maybe the problem, where I don't know if they did know all the rules, but Louis's going to get the support from all the pirates, like all the best, like, you know, the Azmuths, the Nesses are going to want to play for Louis's team. Louis's going to get a better crew if he gets to the end of the game. So I think that I don't get why you put up Laurel, who's really not a threat. She has no strategy. She's like okay at the challenges, but definitely not one of the better competitors. You see like Louis like good at paddling, which is a big skill on Pirate Master. And he's, you know, he's a little bit slow in the competitions, but he's not really that much of a liability. I don't get why you don't put up Ben and Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, you know, with the whole rule about separating the teams, we're already at the point where they're the only two women left. So if you eliminate a guy, you know, Laurel is going to be on the other side and the men are going to be split up evenly. You know, she's going to be very lucky with what happens in the next episode. But, you know, if it was Ben and Jay, like, you know, like that draw could go any way. And depending on how that draw goes at Final Four, you could be setting yourself up to lose the captainship because you just open the door for a strong team to, you know, pass you and beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. If you have this, if you have Louie and Ben up for the black spot, you know that Laurel is not voting against Louie. She's going to vote for Ben. You have Jay, who, I mean, I guess like through his actions at the, like, he does have a vote and he does end up voting for Laurel and not Ben. So I guess he probably does cast that vote. But let's say Krista, and I think she probably gets rid of Louie here. But then in the next competition, now you have a final four where Laurel's still in. you're probably, if you're Krista, I think there's a path to get to the end against Laurel. And I think that really is her best path. I mean, we see it in that final three competition where she was pretty far behind, behind Ben and Jay. And in that final competition, yes, it was, it gets close at the end because of a puzzle. And we see that on Survivor all the time. Whenever a puzzle, it was not really a puzzle, but it's like a combination. Like whenever something like that's thrown into the equation, it could be an equalizer. So we don't know if Krista would have won or lost against somebody else. But just overall, I think in the competitions, Laurel would have been her best bet to go to the end with. And I think she sort of flubs it here. And I think Jay makes a big mistake both at the final four and five, which we could get into.
Yeah, it just seems like that Krista is like, oh no, I can't do it. That's a Louis. Louis's been so good.
Yeah, but then she pays off Ben to throw the challenge against her in the next round. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But look, Krista has a code of ethics, and she did not want to break it here. All right, summons time. And we find out that she says, either I think you're a liar and I want you to stay, or you're a easy person to beat and I want to get rid of you. Because I want only the best people here. And it's Ben and Laurel.
Shock. And with Laurel doing this, it's kind of like Krista kind of forgets, or I guess pardons Jay for everything that he's done and just doubles down on the loyalty to Jay and just completely just does not want anything to do with Ben, which I feel like, especially in a game as fluid as Pirate Master, could be a little short-sighted here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. It's time to campaign, because Louis is not going to vote for Laurel. So it's really going to come down to Jay. What is Jay going to do? Is Jay going to turn on his buddy, Ben? Or does he realize that it's better to keep Ben in the game? I mean, in hindsight, probably should have voted out Ben.
For sure, should have voted out Ben. I mean, I think he becomes the favorite to win that competition. But again, it goes back to like how much of these crazy rules do they know? And that's why I feel like cheated as a viewer when we get to the final three, because it's like such a random thing to do to eliminate somebody from the game. So it's almost like all the things that happened strategically leading up to that vote are moot.
And it's amazing that Jay did not get a black spot.
Yes,
somehow
he did a great job. Yeah, he got out of it, I think, with an assist from Laurel. Somehow Laurel, I actually, Aaron, I think I disagree with maybe the fact that, yes, Laurel's actions of telling Jay potentially do cause her to get a black spot, but it may have been Jay and her anyway. And maybe the same thing happens, but I think it's more likely that Ben votes out Jay there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's why I said Laurel definitely did not help herself here, because Jay was dead to rights. Like, Ben and Louie were very united in getting rid of Jay, and Ben was like, well, I've already turned on Jay at this point. And Ben fully expected for Jay to eliminate him, because they just yelled at each other before, so like, why would Jay keep him? I think of anybody, Jay's the one that's the most open-minded in terms of changing his vote, and not everybody else.
But I don't think it's bad play necessarily, though. Like, if you're Laurel, you have to assume that you're on the hot seat here, just based on the fact that you're like in that minority alliance. You're not an officer. You're like just with Louis. So I think throwing somebody under the bus to the person who had the power of giving the black spots at that point, like that happens on these shows all the time. Like, if you're able to really get in someone's head and, you know, get them to distrust one of their allies, I think you've actually shown some like an impressive skill of sort of like inception of getting your idea into their head. And while she succeeds in doing that, it ends up, the result is that she goes home, and who knows if that would have happened either way. So I think she actually, it was maybe one of the more impressive things I saw Laurel do on the show, but it does end up biting her in the butt.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Louis and Laurel, that they are, have a bond. They can't be broken. Did we know about this before this episode, Aaron?
Yeah, Louis and Laurel have been kind of working together all the way back to the Christian vote. So they've been working together throughout the entire game, because they both voted out Kendra over Christian, and since then they've pretty much been lockstep with each of their votes every time they had a chance to vote together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's have some pirate court. All right.
All right.
Krista says, you never know what Laurel thinks. And Krista says that Ben says that she heard doesn't want to have Krista in the end. And Krista wants the strongest players in the end. She's a believer in the iron sharpens iron coach mentality.
Yeah, because that always works.
Yeah.
Very inspirational season.
Yeah. I mean, it did not play out in her favor here. All right. Defend yourself. Laurel, she can't trust Ben. And Louis is not happy to see Laurel up there. You know, Jay thinks it might be better to keep the weaker competitor up there. And Ben says that him and Jay are brothers and he wants one more day. Now, this was at the end of the game. Again, a lot of power for the people that are voting because they could, of course, cast a vote for the mutiny. Certainly the next round is the one where they really have a lot of power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we surprised that there was no ballot cast for mutiny the entire show?
No,
I'm not.
I'm not at all.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
I think it was
with the way it's designed.
To me, it's such a flawed game mechanic, the way that the mutiny works, because you need every voter to mutiny, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you also need, do you need both officers or is it one officer?
No, both officers.
Yeah. You need everyone on the ship.
But they got rid of the officers.
That's true. So it is easier down the stretch to mutiny. But I think like, in the early game, I'm not surprised at all because it's almost impossible to pull off. The officers are going to be the people that are closest with the captain. So like, why would they turn on their closest ally unless like they became sus of the captain? Mm-hmm. But it's hard to get every single person. It's a unanimous vote. That's very hard to pull off. So I'm not surprised about that. I think in this situation, it didn't really make sense for either voter to mutiny. Like at what point did it, what round did they take away the officers? Was this the first round?
The azimuth round.
It was the azimuth round.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would say that in this final five, it wouldn't have made sense for anybody to mutiny because for Jay, like you could make a case that he would want to get rid of Ben, which is I think what he should have done. There's a case to get rid of Laurel, which is what he did. Mm-hmm. I think Krista would be like a long third option out of the three of them. And then for Louis. Again, especially if Louis probably doesn't trust Jay to tell him the truth. So like, it doesn't make sense for Louis to go for Krista over Ben. For him, he needs to get both of those two people out. So I really think that it's not a surprise here. And I think because of the rules and that it has to be unanimous, it's not a surprise at all that there was never a mutiny played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does seem like that the way that Krista's playing this is like, all right, I got to get rid of Laurel. I got to get rid of Louis. And this is the way to get me to the final three with these two guys.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Survivor One World, like where you have Kim Spradlin at the final five. And she's like, I have these strong players in Chelsea and Sabrina. And then I have like Christina and was it Christina and Alicia and like, yeah. And Tarzan who are still around, who've been around the whole time. And like, she could sort of go, oh, and it's Kat. And she could go either way, but she's in a position where she doesn't really have to turn on the stronger members of her alliance because she knows that she's running shit and that she is going to get the votes at the end. Krista from Pirate Master is not in that spot. Like she might be the most well-liked, but it's not a jury vote at the end. It's a expedition. And when it came to the expeditions, Jay and Ben were at, for the most part, stronger competitors. So I think that she did have to start going after the bigger threat. She wasn't in that spot where she could just go to the end with the strongest people.
Okay. All right. Pirates, cast your ballots. No ballots for mutiny. It's a tie. Uh-oh, Krista. What will you do? Which pirate will you cut adrift? Laurel or Ben?
We're used to seeing Laurels in ties. Mm-hmm. Not usually as one of the tied people.
Cut Laurel adrift.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked by Krista's decision here because, you know, if you were deciding between putting up Ben and Jay on the block or on the black spot, mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, had there been a tie the other way, would she have saved Jay? And mm-hmm. I guess the evidence is probably yes.
MJ's kids.
You know, based on that evidence there. So, you know, if the whole deal was about, you know, going with the strongest competitors, then what was the whole thing between Ben and Jay even for anyway? This didn't really make mm-hmm. all that much sense to me.
High drama.
Were they punishing Ben for strategizing against her, but then at the end decided to just like serve it as a warning? But you only have four people left after this. Like, what's the point? Like, what's the point of a warning like that? It's kind of a half measure. I mean, I think if you're Krista and you know going in that you're going to save Ben, and maybe she didn't know when she made the decision, why not just, you know, make it an easier day and just nominate Louie and Laurel at that point? So Laurel was of the four people that were not Krista, I think made the least sense to go home. I think Ben is probably the best option to go, and Jay is probably the second best. If it were Survivor, I would say that I'd rather have Ben around than Jay. But in a game like Pirate Master, where it's really the mm-hmm. expeditions are so important,
mm-hmm. yep.
I think you want to get rid of the Ben here.
All right. Ben bomb. Ben is staying. Can't get rid of Ben.
Nope.
It's the theme on RJP this week. Okay. Let's talk about episode 13. This is where now it's all about Louie. Gotta get rid of Louie. Target is on Louie. And I came into this season and thinking like, well, Louie, what a great guy. And certainly he seemed like he was a great pirate. This comes up in his speech, but Louie stinks at the game.
Yeah. I mean, he's really bad. Disgusting.
And he's bad. And like, with all due respect to Louie, like, he seems very dumb. Like, how did he not know that they were all working together and they're going to throw the challenge to make him lose? He never even thinks of that. He never even suspects it. Like, Louie,
he's
it's
Rupert,
episode
Rob.
13 of Pirate Master.
They found Rupert 2.0 and they put him on Pirate Master. I think just like Rupert in Pearl Islands, you have to cast this guy in a season. Like, you get his audition tape, you're putting him on your pirate themed show.
He's so dumb, though.
Yeah.
He really believed in them. He really believed in Jay. Dumb. He had a very tight bond.
And also, that all of a sudden he has a nickname, Lou Dog. And where did Lou Dog come from?
Well, I think Ben also called Jay J-Dog, so I'm assuming everybody's a dog
mm-hmm.
to bed.
Okay. Are you a dog?
Yeah, that was my mm-hmm. my nickname.
And
in
you're
high school,
Jordog.
A-Dog.
I'm Jordog. Wouldn't you be a dog?
No, because there was a lot of a Rob for a Rod, and mm-hmm. so a dog is not too far off from that. But a dog would be an interesting, yeah, A-Dog. Pretty much
like the top dog
rolls mm-hmm. off the tongue.
Would that be J-Dog or K-Dog? I think K-Dog. I think more people call me Kalish than Jordan.
Mm, okay. All right. So
K-Dog is like K-9.
Seeds, dog.
Dog, baby. Hey, dog, hey.
All right.
Hey, dog.
The three of Krista and Ben and Jay, they're closer than ever because it was sort of like they got all the tension out. Now they're just back to best friends.
It was like Thruples.
I don't understand anything that happened in this last episode. If you're just going to become kumbaya on this one, and Ben's just all his whole thing this episode is, I have to prove my loyalty
mm-hmm.
to this alliance. You know, I don't get it.
Yeah. But they realize, all right, we have to, whoever is with Louie has to throw the challenge. Now, I was hoping, like, oh, wouldn't this be an interesting wrinkle if Louie ends up with Krista?
Yeah.
And then what would Ben and Jay do if they got, would they try to win?
Yeah. Well, actually, no, because I don't think they would have, because Krista would have just stayed captain.
But one of them could have been captain.
Yeah. And they would get all the money.
Yeah. But I think Jay's saying this whole episode that he just wants to keep Krista in power. Like, I think to them, the whole goal was just to get rid of Louie here. If Krista wins and stays captain, the same exact thing happens.
This would have been interesting. It would have been more interesting.
Louis gets more money. That's
it would have been an interesting challenge for sure.
Yeah.
It would have been. I mean, and maybe there is. Maybe they decide. Maybe they don't throw it. Maybe they do try to win. And they're like, okay, if one of us is captain, at least it's not Louis. But again, even if Louis is captain here, Louis's going home because whoever it was probably would have just mutinied. Whoever doesn't get the black spot probably mutinies here and gets Louis out. I think that's probably what happens. But I do really love this Final Four game mechanic.
Okay. What of the whoever is not getting the black spot gets to cast the vote?
Yeah, because time, I think it shows your social game and your strategic game, because if you have to figure out who you trust the most.
Mm-hmm.
However, what if the person you trust the most is the person you think is going to beat you? Then you have to maybe pick the person you trust the second most to not mutiny you and get the person out who's the bigger threat. I think there's a lot of really interesting dynamics at play where you have to make that decision. And I think I was talking about this today with Nick, actually, where the Big Brother Final Four is similar to this, right?
But it's very similar, except for that if you are the HOH, you are safe. Like, you cannot mutiny and vote out the HOH if you're the veto holder.
Yeah, exactly, which is actually why I think this is a better Final Four. Like, I'm not a Big Brother guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not comparing Pirate Master to Big Brother. Big Brother is a much better game than Pirate Master. I'm not taking anything away from Big Brother here. But I do think the fact that the captain is susceptible to the mutiny, it makes this.
So you're saying that Pirate Master is better than Big Final Brother, Four. It sounds like.
I am not saying that Pirate Master is better than Big Brother. I have watched probably more Pirate Master than Big Brother, which is interesting because there's only one season of Pirate Master that I've now watched three times. And I think I've only watched two seasons of Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's how the Final Four is going to work. We are going to go look for the Carpenter's treasure. The Carpenter would build the gallows so they can hang people. A very important role on the pirate ship. It's going to be Krista and Jay versus Louis and Ben. Aaron, tell us about the trip to the gallows.
Well, we are back to our good old friend rowing to shore. We're going to get a boat, get a row to shore, and we need to find not the dead pool, but the dead man's pool.
Dead man's pool.
Dead man's pool, where they're going to dive to retrieve a set of tools and the next clue. And basically, on the way there, Ben is purposely rowing slow to the point where Louis's like, I'll take over. And Louis just books it rowing. I mean, Louis said he is the best rower out of everybody on that ship, and I fully believe that because he just caught up to the flat crew like it was
man
nothing.
Can row,
like man can row.
Yeah, like, I was making fun of Louis, but he can row.
Yeah, it was a real kind of BB16 Frankie having to do the competition by himself. That's what I thought was going to happen here.
Lou Dog can row.
Yeah, he can row. So basically, when they get to the pool, the black crew is going to head downstream and find materials to build a raft that they're going to need to continue. And so the red crew is stuck at the pool because, oh no, I can't find it. And Ben is purposefully giving Louis this diving mask so he thinks he's not, tanking it. Eventually, it gets to the point where they're so far behind. They said this is the furthest behind any crew has ever been on an expedition. Ben's like, I'm just going to go actually try this time and get the clue myself. So he gets the clue. And they get out. Meanwhile, the black crew is having some struggles with rowing. And Jay and Krista are arguing with each other. You know, Krista's annoyed that Jay's thinking that she can't row. And Jay's like, Krista can't row.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben's like, neither of these people can row. It's just they're both bad.
So, not great.
Yeah, not great. But basically, they're searching in this lake, Miracle Lake. And they paddle to this tree that has a lot of skulls in it. And basically, they solve a puzzle, retrieve the treasure key, and they just have to search for the lake for two officers that are hanging. And in between them, they'll find the treasure, which they will eventually do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so congratulations. Black crew stays in power, 40K to the black crew.
Shoot the blunderbuss, baby.
Yeah. And now we're down to the final four, where now, okay, pick two pirates, and one will be the voter, and they can mutiny. So they split it up, and they give a third of the money to Ben, and they even give 5K to Louis because they feel bad they threw the challenge. He's like, oh my God, thank you so much. And
I
like,
love this
idiot.
Scene, by the way.
He's the guy. What a moron.
This money will go a long way. And I was like, oh,
Poor
this
Louis.
Is my favorite
I
scene.
Know, Louis, yeah.
It was my favorite scene of the show. It's like, because look, this is a pirate themed show. I like pirate movies. I've always been a Pirates of the Caribbean guy. I like the characters and then the backstabbing and everything. And this is a reality show as well. Not only do you see Louis, and I feel, look, I like Louis. Louis probably, he seems like the nicest guy. Like, and so I did feel bad for him for an extent, but like, it was the right move by the other players. And then you have on top of the fact that he got hosed by Ben here, who throws the challenge. He gets this like pity $5,000 where he's probably thinking, like, this woman's so nice. But really, like, by giving him just $5,000 is he's really just getting screwed in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was like, on an emotional level, like, it was sad to watch, but I guess that's like when you're watching these shows, if you're feeling something emotionally for someone, the show's doing its job.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually right here coming up is the most baffling thing that I think happens in this round is, okay, at this point, we're at the final four. You know, Krista is the captain, deciding to who, basically, to give the sole voting power for the round. Jay obviously wants it to be himself. But here's the thing, though. Even if Krista chose somebody else, what's Jay gonna do? Mutiny? He can't. And then next round, they all thought that they were gonna be competing against each other anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, you're already competing against each other for the next couple rounds. So, it doesn't really matter who you give the vote to, as long as you know that they're going to not mutiny against you and vote you out as the captain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somehow Jay is going to be the person who gets, avoids the black spot and gets to be the voter. And he seems like he's the least trustworthy. Like, I felt like that if you were Krista and you went to Louis and like, Louis, if I give you the vote, are you going to mutiny me? And he says, no, just take that to the bank.
Absolutely.
Louis is not going to lie to you. If he gives you his word, that's it. Jay, on the other hand, she's like, how do you know that? How do I know that you're not going to mutiny me? And he's like, you don't. And she still gives him the vote.
I'm shocked. And the thing, though, too, is, you know, when you get down to the final three, final two, it's about the expeditions anyway. And Louis has lost all of these in a row. You know, he hasn't been winning really a lot of things. So you've been winning constantly against him. And he's the most trustworthy person on this ship. He's been very, you know, loyal. So I just to kind of pass on that in favor of giving it to the most strategic game body person that could reasonably vote any of you out is mind boggling to me.
Yeah.
Here's my theory. I think it's a suspect decision, but my theory as to why she maybe gave Jay the power to either set someone adrift or to mutiny is that she might figure from her perspective, yes, Jay is deceptive, but he's more likely to send Ben home than he is to send me home. It may have been that A, she was potentially trying to set up Ben to get him out of the game, or she figures, okay, if he just gets rid of Louis as he does, our final three got to the end. This is what we were planning the whole time. If she keeps Louis, maybe like, you know, I think that Louis was the right decision because Louis is the person who's least likely to mutiny her. He's not going to mutiny her. If Krista gives him that power, there's no way. I think you can also say to Louis, look, I'm going to give you this power. I'm the captain. This is who I want you to get out. And I think she could have dictated the vote where Jay is going to do. And I think Jay makes again, the wrong decision, just like he made the wrong decision at the final five, not to get rid of Ben. But I think that if you tell Louis, get rid of Jay, he's getting rid of Jay. If you tell Louis, get rid of Ben, he's getting rid of Ben. And I think that clearly getting rid of Ben for all three of these people at this point would have been the right move.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. You ready for pirate court?
Let's do it.
All right. Krista says, Louis, he doesn't deserve to be cut adrift. And just says that I will be sad if Ben goes. All right. That's your setup from Krista. Time to defend yourself. Louis, he's a hard worker. Ben comes out and reveals he threw the challenge to Louis.
Yeah, and I think once Ben reveals this, if I'm Jay and Krista, I'm really mad. I'm really mad. Yeah, if I'm Jay here, I'm like, screw you. This makes us look bad as well. That's even more reason to get rid of Ben. I couldn't believe it.
Jay, you did this? All right, that's to vote you out.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Jay, how could you? Poor Louis.
Yeah, well, I mean, watching this for the first time, I thought for sure Ben was going to go here, especially when he said that. I forgot that he brings this up at the Final Four. I did remember the scene where he apologizes to Louis, like when Louis is a ghost. But I did not remember that Ben brought this up here. And it's like, Ben, I think, does play a pretty good game. He makes alliances with the right people. I mean, he's not actually involved in any of these suspect decisions, because the suspect decisions down the stretch involved him not going. So it actually worked out for him. So I guess he made close enough bonds with these people where maybe they felt bad about getting rid of him, or they just didn't think it was strategically advantageous to get rid of him. So I think he does play pretty well. But I also do think that he puts his foot in his mouth a couple times, and he knows he's playing a game and he has to make these decisions, but then he lets his emotions get involved, like, you know, right after it happens. And this could have been the end of Ben, because he definitely didn't say that at the right time.
Yeah. It's wild. And so we end up with Jay also saying, hey, and for Krista, you know, if you're playing chess, you take out the queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To which, if I was Krista, I'd be like, I should have picked Louis.
Yeah.
I should have picked Louis.
What an a-hole.
Mm-hmm. I think Jay's just making TV there. He probably knows what he's doing at that point.
He was like, good TV. Still, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, all right, we get our vote. And then no votes for Mutiny. Ben, your voyage will continue. Louis, your voyage is over. Can't believe it. I wrote in my notes, Ben dogged Lou Dog.
Yep.
And Rupert comes in fourth place again, just like Survivor All-Stars.
Yes. There you go. Yes. There should have been a fire-making challenge for Louis.
There should be.
Barnacle scrubbing challenge.
Yeah. Speaking of game-changing twists at the end of the game, I feel like Pirate Master actually is the pioneer in this, because this predates Micronesia by over a year, so I feel like this is where they start to toy with the idea of let's do some things at the end, and maybe that kind of transferred over to
surprise,
other shows.
Surprise final twos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surprise final twos. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to say before we get to our finale and our final three?
Not for Aaron.
No.
Okay. No? All right. Finale of Pirate Master, and instead of a day 39 breakfast, Aaron, we get some cheese bread?
Yeah, it was weird.
Some baguettes?
What do they call it? A charcuterie board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. I mean, maybe if you're, you know, going to be expediting? Going on an expedition?
Expeditioning
that day? I mean, maybe you would want something light so you're not, you know, too bogged down when you're running or swimming or rowing or mm-hmm. whatever you have to do that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm never turning down a charcuterie board. I would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
I like brie cheese.
Yeah.
I like French baguettes. Mm-hmm. I like smoked meats.
Sure. It's fine.
Another day, another morning, another charcuterie.
Did they give them any seeds?
They should have given them bagels. Like, they should have given them bagels and bread. Can I put this, like, if I ever get on Survivor, can I ever, like, put in my application, if I do get to day 39, could I have bagels and lox as my day 39 breakfast?
It's not like your HOH basket when you get to day 39 of that. They, fill it with your favorite treats. They give you the same stuff, no matter who's in the final three.
That's what Survivor needs. Survivor has, you know, and there have been so many issues talked about with Survivor.
Who wants to see my HOH room?
I know. I think Survivor needs customizable day 39 breakfast. That's what we want.
A customizable.
Mm-hmm.
You like bagels, you get bagels. You like charcuterie, you get charcuterie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Aaron, we knew it was going to be a great day for the final three because of the big rainbow over the ship.
Yes. You know, maybe the treasure's buried. That would have been.
How?
they planned for the end.
Was Captain Steel a leprechaun?
Yes. His lucky charms are buried at, under the end of one of those ends of the rainbow. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rob, how do you think this, how do you think the Pirate Master finale compares to the Leprechaun movies?
Well, I feel like the Leprechaun movies are more satisfying endings.
Actually, I've never seen them, but according to you and Akiva's talks about them, they did seem like slightly better endings than this Pirate Master ridiculousness.
Yeah, again, and the Leprechaun, yeah. I would not say any of the Leprechaun movies have great endings. It is like Pirate Master, the friends they make along the way. It's about the journey more than the destination. Okay.
Yeah, they saw the rainbow. Did imagine they did just bury the treasure like deep underwater. You had to swim out like 500 feet.
Yes.
Okay, so, all right, we're going to get what would you call this? Like a clue, but there's Latin on it, and then they have to like transcribe into Latin to take
notes.
They
were doing homework.
Yeah, there was like homework. Like, they couldn't just give them three maps. Here's the map, and now like the photocopy machine is broken. Everybody just draw your own map.
Rob, they're on a pirate ship. Captain Henry Seal only left one map. What are you supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So, everybody paint your map and go and go into the water. And so, everybody is going to swim to shore. And then, Aaron, okay, this is going to be for the final three competition. And just to, in case people didn't watch the episode, the final three competition is going to just earn you a spot in the final three. That's
the
final two. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, in the final two. You earn your spot in the final two. And then we will have a different mechanism for who will be eliminated from the final three.
They got sprung with the surprise final two. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they were really thinking this was going to be the final one, but no, they have to find the first mate's treasure first.
Okay, the first mate's treasure. All right. So, Aaron, can you take us through our final expedition for our three players?
Yeah, so they're going to take their Latin translation charts that they made earlier in the day, and they're going to jump overboard, swim to shore this time. We're swimming. And they're going to look for a bridge that's suspended over a gorge where they're going to look for this hanging sword and the next clue. And Ben is faster than the others in getting there. They all pull up their hanging swords, which tells them to head towards this pool. And in this pool, which is next to a ravine, he's going to discover this on the back of this huge rock boulder thing. There's going to be this Latin writing on it. Gonna be a bunch of Latin phrases, maybe some English, and then Latin word translations at the bottom. And he basically translates it, and it says, you have to retrace your steps, gotta go back in the jungle, where you're gonna find the next clue is gonna be hidden underwater. So, on their way back, Ben and Jay are gonna get to that bridge again first, and Ben sabotages Krista by cutting that bridge.
Do you think they told them, like, hey, just whatever you do, if somebody's on the bridge, do not cut the
that had to have been in the rules, because you would like, die. Wait, you would literally die.
Hey, wait, what are you doing? Hang on, lady, we're going for a ride.
My guess, like, just from someone who's been to a water park before, there was probably a production member on either side. Like, you know, at the water park, when you go down the slide, they like make you wait and then they tell you to go, right? Yeah. So they probably have two people on either side where, like, yes, you can cut it, or no, you definitely can't cut it because you're literally going to kill one of your competitors.
I mean, they had a huge pile of coconuts run over Joy before that large bamboo thing fall on Joe Dot before. So sabotages, potentially killing contestants is not out of the realm of possibility here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like the whole, on the opposite end of that spectrum, at the final five, was like a net fell on Jay Chris. It was like a little, I mean, like the easiest thing to get off. They're not like trapped in any way. There's just now a rope on top of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, that could slow you down a little bit. Okay.
It could.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they got the bridge cut, and then basically, yeah, poor Krista, poor Sweetbeard. She's just basically out of the running.
Yeah.
No Should they have shot. Had a vine that she could have swung over the ravine on?
I think that would also, like, if that would be very dangerous. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it probably wasn't that long of, like, a run around the ravine. Mm-hmm. So I think that she was probably, I mean, it definitely slowed her down. Like, it seems like a pretty big penalty. But I think there's a way to get around there. Like, they're not going to make it impossible to finish the challenge if it gets sabotaged.
Yeah. All right. So.
So.
Yeah. What? How does the final three challenge end?
Yeah. So basically, Ben and Jay arrive at the next body of water, and they dive underwater. They discover the next clue, which says the gold is by the waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go back to the waterfall for yet another time. And basically, after swimming and searching behind the waterfall, Ben is going to beat out Jay here and discover the treasure and will be the first person in the first ever and maybe last ever final two of Pirate Master.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that the guy who is like great at these expositions, who they could have voted out two rounds in a row, would have won the last challenge? Yeah.
Seems like, in hindsight, a mistake to not keep Louis here. That Jay himself says, yeah, I know I could have beaten Louis. Louis is actually not very good at the expeditions. Louis actually always loses the expeditions.
Yeah.
And Jay, you know, the funny thing, too, though, is they all thought the final three was going to be the last challenge. So if that's the case, even more reason why Jay should have just cut Ben here and kept Louis.
If they think that the final three, do they think that the final three is a challenge? If they think it's a vote, then it makes sense to get rid of Louis because everyone's going to vote for Louis. But I don't know if they know. I mean, it's hard to know how much the contestants knew at this point.
I think that they all thought it was going to be this. They thought this challenge was going to be the final challenge. Yeah. And then it's like, okay,
there's really no rationale for not getting rid of Ben. Yeah. And by the way, though, my problem is not with the fact that we go to a final two. Like, you know, in Survivor, there's been final threes, final twos. I prefer the final two over the final three, but I'm like fine with both. I don't really care that much either way. And even, you know, Survivor Micronesia, I felt bad because I'm a big fan of Ceree, and I was hoping Ceree would go to the end of that game. But like, when she gets voted out, it's a surprise final three. She goes home. Yes, she gets, you know, Ceree gets screwed in all of her Survivor seasons, and it sucks. But like, a final two isn't unprecedented. It happened for most of the seasons before that. So I think having this challenge here, having a 1v1v1 to get to the final two is fine. What happens, though, is how the player is eliminated, because this is not an immunity challenge. Yes, it's an immunity challenge in that the winner is safe, but it's not an immunity challenge in where the winner then gets to decide who goes to the end, which would have been absolutely good. And yes, you're stealing it from Survivor, but who cares? It's a great game. Steal it from Survivor. Have the person who wins the challenge decide who goes to the end against them. That's how these games work. Why are we now having these ghost pirates who got voted out of the game, who, you know, if it were a jury vote and they have a say, fine. But why do they have a say as to who goes home?
Well,
it makes of course they're going to vote out the strategic person who ran the game. Because they also, these people are not like big time reality TV fans, most likely. That doesn't seem like they are. They don't really respect strategy. They're voting purely based on who screwed them over, which I think is understandable. I don't blame the pirates.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the guy who ran the game, who was the most strategic and the least honest, is going to get voted out. And this is supposed to be a game about piracy where something like that should be rewarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. I don't think Jay was winning this. I really
don't.
I don't. I don't think Jay was winning this. And
why?
You know, well, okay. So even if, let's say, you know, Ben wins this, and he has a choice. I know there was a lot of talk between him and Krista about cutting Jay, so I do think Jay could very well still have gone this round, especially if it's only an expedition. Jay came second, so obviously Ben would want to cut him both on that. And that he already talked about wanting to get rid of Jay at Final Five before. And even if things changed and somehow he got rid of Krista here, I still think he's going to beat Jay in a final expedition when they're going toe to toe against each other. Once he doesn't get rid of Ben, I feel like Jay's kind of,
He had a better chance to win Pirate Court than he did for Ben to keep him to the end.
For sure. I mean, like, Jay clearly doesn't play a flawless game. Like, he did play a very good strategic game until I think the final four and five, and he has like these powers of persuasion. But if, like, I don't know, let's say Ben wins, this works just like a final three immunity challenge in Survivor, he votes out Jay, like, that's fine. Like, to me, that's at least fair. And even if, you know, Ben votes out Krista, which I don't think would have happened, I think he would have voted out Jay. I think you're right, Aaron. I think he does still go home. I do think here, that like, you know, Jay got voted out. That's how the game works. I just don't like that if it were Jay, let's say if somehow it was Jay made the right decision at the Final Four, and it's Jay, Louie, and Krista now mm-hmm. at the Final Three. And let's say Louie does win that final challenge. And Louie, Jay still has, you know, and they do the Final Three that they have. Jay still has no shot of getting to the end of the game because the Pirates are still going to vote him out over Krista. So, like, Jay almost had no chance of winning except for winning this final challenge, which obviously if he voted out Ben, he probably would have mm-hmm. done. Yeah. So he screws himself. Like, yeah. It's not just the rules, but I think yeah. it is a really bad rule.
Okay. So I know we're already talking about it. Let's get to the reveal. So we see we get back to the ship with the treasure, and it is 50K all to Captain Ben. Ben wears the captain's jacket for the first time in the series. It's all Ben's treasure, and two clues to Captain Steel's final treasure. Ben Bomb. Okay, he's churching this up now. He will be one of the two finalists. But how will we decide who goes home, Jay or Krista? The Ghost Pirates will come back.
This is no Ghost Pirates.
In these games, it is not necessarily who you eliminate, but it's also how you eliminate them, how you cut them adrift, and I think. That's going to play a big part into why Jay's not going mm-hmm. to do well here. But I also think that I think it also is a testament to how well Krista was doing. The fact that the majority of them wanted her to win. I feel like any combination, I feel like if any combination of people was up against Krista, I feel like a lot of them were going to be in favor of Krista yeah. no matter what here.
So the idea of the show was Pirate Master. And so the idea of pirates was one where you could come on to Pirate Master and basically make your own rules, do whatever you want. It was the show mm-hmm. that attracted Russell Hantz to reality TV because I could burn everybody's socks and then keep all the gold.
And the ship.
That was the idea, like the appeal of Pirate Master. But it turns out that Pirate Master rewards you most for being nice, playing fair, being a Colleen Haskell among the pirates, because you ultimately, if you don't win the competition, the people that come back to the boat are going to be the people that are angry and they want to take an ounce of blood. They're not worried about like who played the best game. They're saying, who are they mad at? Jay will lose by a vote of 12-1. The best pirate on the whole show. It's and one I don't even to stay. Do we even know who it was from?
It was Kendra.
Kendra, which really surprised me because she was mad at him at the finals. I didn't remember it was Kendra. I thought for some reason it was like Jupiter or something.
No, she went in on Krista. Yeah, Kendra was very, very mad at Krista.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I guess it makes sense. Yeah. I'm not mad at the pirates. Like I'm all in on the jury system of Survivor for picking mm-hmm. a winner, even if they don't always pick the person I would like to win. If you have people, you're gonna vote for the person that you like to succeed, unless you completely disrespect them, even if you maybe like mm-hmm. them, you know, a little bit more personally. But it's just you're putting these people in a situation where, of course, the most deceptive person is gonna go out. And why do we want that?
Yeah, it was good to bring the Ghost Pirates back for the final expedition, but they gave them too much power here to make the decision. I don't know, they could have just let Ben make the choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we didn't need to see the Ghost Pirates drag the final, or the people that were at Pirate Court.
You know, if you're Ben and you have that decision, if he knows how the finals works, where you like get to pick your crew. I actually think that taking Jay to the end over Krista is not the worst idea in the world, because you might get some pirates on Jay's team who might sandbag him,
but Jay's so good, he'll like make a deal, or like he'll give them reward them.
And he'll have a choice,
yeah,
and he'll be able to entice them with money.
Well, Krista, voting out Jay would have been the right move, but again, we've seen so many questionable decisions by these contestants. Who knows? But I think you're right. I think Ben gets it enough where, like, he's the same guy who threw the challenge to get Louie out. I think he's getting rid of Jay.
Aaron, who came out the saltiest from the Ghost Pirates?
Ooh, you know, there were some salty people here. You know what? Who I was surprised by the most, because I forgot about this, was Kendra. Because Kendra, I mean, went in. I mean, she said, how does it feel to stand there? You two put me up so many times. 6 times I stood up there. You know, Krista pulls out the pity card, her daughter. Woe is me. Set an example for her. Get a job.
Get a job. She's on Pirate Master.
I know.
She's competing to win $500,000.
She's
dollars.
A pirate.
What do you want?
That's her job now.
It was crazy.
Get a job.
Yeah. And Jodan was like a poor man's Judd here. You know, I forgot how much he said man, too.
Yeah.
Jodan.
John comes in, kind of like a half Murphy to Jay, right?
Yeah.
But then he's very pro Krista, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know these people. Yeah. He hasn't been on the ship in weeks.
He was a delight. He was a delight.
He wanted to be on TV. He knew he only got like his one episode, and he wanted to. And it works because then Krista puts him on his team.
He gets it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he loses again.
Yep. All right. Ghost pirates are going to vote. Somebody is going to be cut adrift. Or that they think someone will be cut adrift. Jay. You got 12 votes. Your voyage has ended, but you will not be cut adrift. You,
his face.
You get to stay with all the ghost pirates.
These ghost pirates hated Jay so much that Jay got the same amount of votes to go home than Tony did to win Winners of War.
They hated him. They hated Jay.
They did not enjoy that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So. Here we go. Ghost pirate party. Jodan, I'm not sure what he was trying to say about Captain Krista.
He was being a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. He started saying, oh, she uses her body. And take it easy, Jodan.
What's wrong with Jodan? He's a former captain. He should behave like one. I guess a pirate captain wouldn't behave
too watch
well.
It, buddy. And then... we see that, everybody is, hanging out on the boat. Captain Ben is trying to put the ghost pirates to work. And at some point, they're like, I don't feel like doing anything. Why? What's in it for me? Yeah. Why are you making me clean the boat? I'm not even in the game.
I don't know why, even if they were in the game, why at this point, there's a day left. Why are they cleaning the boat?
I sense production... got Captain Ben up for the last day. All right, Captain Ben, get your officers working on the ship. Let's get the Picton Castle up to speed one last time.
What was with him calling Laurel his little personal secretary, when she was wearing the captain's coat? I thought it was just an odd choice of words to use. Although I do enjoy Laurel screaming, I'm the ghost captain!
Yeah.
Back at him.
She said Ben's a faker. Only Jupiter is the only person that is going to help out Ben with any of the chores around the ship. Ben, though, he does want to make it up to Lou Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Dog.
Yeah.
Yes, Jordan. He is going to give Lou Dog the money he got from that expedition. I guess he feels I'm probably going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't think this was a game move. I think it was a nice thing to do. I have no problem with this.
Mm-hmm. Nice guy, Ben. All right. So time for one last Pirates Court. Pirates Draft. And in Pirates Draft, we are going to have everybody campaign why they should get picked. We will see Krista. She will pick two men and one woman. And Ben will pick one man and two women to join their team of four for the final pirate mission.
Krista blows this draft.
She blows the draft.
Yeah, I know they both are going to choose Nessa here, but how does she not choose one of her men as Azmuth?
Yeah, Azmuth is...
I was shocked that Ben just got Azmuth for free. There's just no contesting on that.
The two best competitors, challenge-wise, the whole time, were Azmuth and Ben. And if you're Krista, you need Azmuth way more than Ben does. You're not going to win if Ben and Azmuth are on the same team. That basically sealed it. when mm-hmm. when he gets asthma.
It's like the triad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, did you not watch the whole season?
And look, she does get Jay and Nessa, and like Jay's a good pick. She trusts Jay. She knows that Jay's gonna like go all out for her, and like he does mm-hmm. offer to give his cut of the money mm-hmm. to Nessa. So that's a good pick, and Jay is good at challenges. I have no problem with that pick. And she does get Nessa. Nessa was really good at the challenges also.
Highly coveted. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a good decision by both. But the name of the game here was getting Azmuth. Like, if you have to offer him more money, like, if you're Krista, you need him. And of course, Ben is going to put his name down. But if I'm Ben, I'm probably thinking, okay, Krista's also going to pick mm-hmm. me. I don't know why she goes John, of all people, who it looks yeah. the most maybe like a pirate besides Louis, but did one challenge, was terrible in that challenge, screwed his team at the beginning, and he's nowhere near the athlete.
Well, he
that
gave a
Azmuth
speech.
Is.
He well, said that I do not even avail myself to Ben.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to take
Krista.
Him.
Yeah.
Wait, you have a
let's
fan.
Let's not forget, he also found the first treasure, too.
And lost let's the key not, he, that other time.
He did lose the key the other time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe only the Ghost Pirates knew about that. Maybe that didn't make the rounds among the main crew.
No.
you needed Azmuth if you were Krista. Yeah.
What about Jodahn? Yeah. Jodahn didn't get drafted.
Yeah, that would have been a good pick too.
With Nessa, like they are automatically going to work better together.
Some good chemistry.
Yeah.
If you're not getting Azmuth, at least get Jodahn. And like again, Jodahn. I mean, I understand wanting Jay. You trust Jay more than Jodahn. You know him more than Jodahn. You've worked with him. You have a chemistry. But if you're not going to pick Azmuth, like the John pick makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second chance. That's what, you know, second chance.
Okay.
Fire Master, second chance.
Yeah. Well, if Fire Master ever gets a season two, then we can put John back on.
Okay. All right. So we end up with our teams that get drafted. So it's going to be yes. Ben with Cheryl, Jupiter, and Azmuth versus Krista with Jay, John, and Nessa. Ben and Cheryl get reunited from being the original officers. Jupiter, she was the only person that wanted to help Ben on the pirate ship, and Azmuth taking on Krista, Jay, John, and Nessa. Nessa would like to see a woman pirate master, and I gotta say, I was rooting for the red team hard here too.
Yeah, I mean, they were the clear underdogs. I do think that, like, honestly, I didn't really care so much who won because I wanted Jay to win. I think that Ben made fewer mistakes than Krista did, but again, like the mistakes that Krista and Jay made were not getting rid of Ben. So Ben did put himself in a vulnerable position as well, where he could have easily been voted out. So I wasn't super invested in either one. I didn't dislike either one either. But because Krista was the underdog, I was like, oh, that'd be cool if she won. Like they've been, and honestly, I feel like she got way more of a winner's edit than Ben. He's getting all these confessionals mm-hmm. about being the underdog, having like the redemption team. I remember watching this and thinking that Ben was going to win, but edit wise, thinking that like Krista probably had the better edit.
Yeah. It would be a nice story if Krista won.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been.
I don't know
amazing.
What to do with Ben as a winner.
Yeah, he's just like kind of a boring guy who is very good at the expeditions. He's a deserving winner in terms of like, you know, being like pretty strong the whole time, being an officer for basically the whole game.
It was fine.
Winning the last.
It was fine.
Yeah. He's boring. He's boring, but he's fine.
Let me give you my Ben winner rankings from this week. 1, Dreebergen. 2, Ben Fagan.
In terms of how much you like them or in terms of everything.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
I mean, I like Ben Dreebergen so much more than I like Ben Fagan mm-hmm. as like a character. I think that
Ben Dreebergen did more to win than Ben Fagan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he won a much harder game to win. Like the Pirate Master, if you're Ben Fagan and you're like, you know, one of the best expedition
people. The winner
people,
of this show got duped by a card trick that like a 3-year-old, like Jay's like, all right, I got to make some easy money. All right. Who's an idiot around here? Oh, okay. All right, Louis. All right, hold on, Louis. I'll get you next. Hey, Ben, let's pick up a card off the table. Whoever wins gets $500. Okay. What do you got? 2? All right. I got a queen. All right, what do you got? 7? Oh, I got a queen. Like, he's like, oh man, how do you keep... it's amazing. Right. I don't know how you keep
so
beating
good.
Me.
I'll give it a so Dreebergen. Look, only one of them has been on This Week in Survivor History. I'll give it a Ben Dreebergen.
Mm-hmm.
I really like watching Ben on Survivor much more than I like watching Ben Fagan on Pirate Master.
We watched this whole season. Could you tell me anything about Ben Fagan?
No.
I can tell you more about his post-Pirate Master career.
He wanted a guitar and he wanted a microphone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was good at being the second in command.
Mm-hmm.
That's really carried him through. Basically.
All right. Do you want to hear about his music from Wikipedia?
Sure.
Ben Fagan was the lead singer, songwriter, and guitarist of the Charleston, South Carolina-based band, The Plainfield Project. Not a great band name. Aaron, as the resident musician, The Plainfield Project. Good name or bad name?
I don't really get any... It doesn't roll off the tongue. No. And I don't think... It just sounds too demo-ish to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not really going to be doing a lot of music as that band.
Their self-titled debut album was released on iTunes in 2009. After the Plainfield Project, Fagan started a funk, reggae, hip-hop influence band called Ben Fagan and the Holy City Hooligans. It's better.
That's better.
I don't know if that's a reggae. Like, the funk, reggae?
Wait, did you say reggae?
Yes, it was funk, reggae, hip-hop.
I'm trying to imagine Ben doing all of this.
And it was called The Freestyle Sessions. That was their CD in 2011. Their second CD was entitled The Freestyle Sessions 1 and 2 and was released in 2013.
Wait, why is it 1 and 2 if it came after the first? Shouldn't it be 2 and 3?
Well, I'm just reading you from Wikipedia. And Fagan was the co-writer with Meghan Trainor on the song 3 a.m., the fifth track on her debut full-length album called Title in January 2015.
Oh, okay.
So we could check out 3 a.m. and hear his co-song debut with Meghan Trainor.
Okay.
Should be the outro.
All right. There you go. So let's then talk about our final exam here for Captain Steel's Treasure. Boy, Captain Steel was a real prankster. Aaron, can you tell us about the final stretch here on Pirate Master?
Yes. So basically, for this final stretch, both crews are going to be rowing to shore again. Yay! Mm-hmm. They're going to race up a trail. They're going to locate a set of caves. And, Cheryl's really good at rowing. So that black crew is going to reach the shore first. And they start running up the path. And basically, once both teams are at the cave, they have to untie this ancient Chinese box that's going to have the next clue in it. And so they have to then take these boxes, carry them down a path to this sort of abandoned armory field place where they're going to search for a key that's hidden in the barrel of a cannon. Mm-hmm. So Ben is going to find the key for the black team, opens the box, finds a clue and a deck of cards. The red crew also gets their key, but Krista thinks that they have to put the cards in order and also alternate suits for every card, which not sure. I mean, granted, on the clue box, they had the four symbols next to each other, so maybe she assumed they had to go in that order for every card as well, not just like clover, diamond, spade, heart.
She never gets it. She'd still be there.
Yeah. But basically, when you put the cards in that order with all the suits on top of each other, the side of the cards would read that they have to look under the cannonballs for the next clue. So the black team is, digging through these, and they are heavy cannonballs.
Balls, baby.
They find a captain's wheel, and it says, hey, the captain needs to go do this part alone. So,
but
Ben does.
Just to stop down at this part. So, all right. So the black team, they end up digging up the cannonball. And again, this speaks to like a major flaw with the show. Red team never figures out the puzzle. They're just like, oh, hey, they went in there and they got the thing. So, I guess we should just go dig. Jay goes and digs up the wheel.
I'm really surprised that nobody came up with this strategy. It's sort of like the strategy of spoons. Like, if you're not gonna get four cards in a row, sometimes you just start watching the table to see who grabs the spoon first, and then you grab it. It's sort of like,
what is this? Spoons? Jordan, do you know spoons?
No, I was gonna ask the same thing. Can you teach us? Can we play spoons?
Oh, it's very competitive.
Can Jordan play Zoom spoons with people?
Clubhouse spoons.
It's a chaotic time. So spoons is this card game where you all start with a set of four cards and you like take a card and pass it down in your circle. And there's a pile of spoons in the middle. And
what,
as soon as
spoons?
Somebody gets, yes, huh. As soon as somebody gets like four fours or four jacks or something like that, reveal, take, or they take the spoon and the last person to take the spoon. It's like musical chairs, except with doing,
the spoons.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's chaotic. But basically, my strategy sometimes is if I don't really think I'm going to get a match, I will watch the table and just look for who grabs the spoon first and then grab it after them. Same here. Have somebody in the team kind of just, you know, kind of watching to see, hey, is anybody doing something weird and running in a direction? Run after them. What's the worst that can happen? That you're both at the same place and you're both equally lost? You know, at least you're still at the same pace.
I think that this shouldn't have been allowed. I think, like, in a survivor challenge, like, if you're behind, whether it's an individual challenge or a team challenge, if you're behind the other team at a certain point of the challenge, you can't be like, oh, they got through there, let's just run that way. You have to do the obstacle that's in the challenge. I think you have to actually do all the portions of the challenge and not just find the
like
thing.
On The Amazing Race, you can't just say, oh, that team looks like they're headed to the pit stop, I'll just follow them to the mat.
Yeah. And that was the weird thing, too, in this challenge, is when they dig up this wheel and Bed heads to this room that's just full of different knickknacks and they have to put the wheel on the wall, there's only one of them. Like, and so when Krista catches up, like, she can't even put up her own wheel and do her own part. Like, she has
that
to,
was
like,
insane
look
also.
At Ben,
that
was look at Ben solve it, and then go and do it herself. Because there was a shot of her saying, okay, I did it.
Why didn't she just run up there without a wheel?
It was
like when
crazy.
When Ben runs up there, why doesn't she just why'd she carry the heavy wheel up the thing?
You don't really actually
she didn't have to.
You don't have to. No.
Yeah. So it was wild. All right, go back to Captain Steel's, what is this called?
What'd they
call it?
His quarters?
His apartment? Yeah.
Yeah, so basically there's a coat of arms on the wall. Where they mount the ship's wheel, and Ben soon notices that there are notches on the wall, and when you line up the wheel to those notches, it reveals that the treasure is actually located inside the chest of Zanzibar the whole time.
And it was
on
the
Latin ship,
again, right?
Sitting right in front of their noses. Nobody knew it. And so they're going to... Well, Ben is going to run back downhill. Chris is not far behind. And they reunite with their respective crews. Hey, we need to get back in our longboats, go back to the ship. Once they reach the ship, now it's the captains are on their own once again. And so basically, it's a pseudo escape room on a ship where they have to look through the different compartments for a secret compartment that's going to lead to them finding a letter. And they have to put a puzzle on top of the letter, which is going to reveal the combination code to open this treasure and unlock the $500,000.
Boom. Okay. All right. So ultimately they realize, okay, get back to the ship. And really it's like, and like you're hoping that Krista's going to catch up, but like, it's just like, she's like, Jay, so far ahead.
She's just like sitting back at the end. There's like nothing she can do when Jay's like, and again, it's one chest. So like, what if they both got to the key at the same time? Is it like a race to the lock? I mean, I think that's, that would have been fun. That would have been fun to watch. But
interesting, yeah.
It's hard to both be at that chest at the same time.
Yeah.
No, but Ben's going to quickly figure that out and open up the box and unlock the treasure.
Yes.
And Ben. You know, all Krista could do is watch.
Yes. 1688 is the code. Ben pops that chest open and the underdog wasn't the underdog anymore. When was Ben the underdog?
I don't know. I was very confused by that.
I know about Lou Dog. I know
was the underdog.
I know. A Dog. I know K Dog. But wait, what is this? Ben was what underdog story? He was up against Krista. How is he the underdog?
He had this whole narrative in his head that as soon as, you know, a lot of the the ghost pirates seem to be asking Krista to be on their team and giving her all their support, that he's all of a sudden, okay, you lit a fire under me. You don't know what you did, ghost crew. I'm fired up. I'm the underdog.
Wait,
I'm
going to go out there. I'm going to win.
I don't know.
Ben was part of the first administration. He was like part of like the inner circle more than any other person in the whole thing. And maybe you said that's part of his great game. He was an officer for what? The first 3 weeks? Joe, they come out of power. Cheryl goes home. Cheryl has to pay the price for Jodan. Mm-hmm. Jodan is a pariah. Ben, he's in with Azmuth. He's in the triad. He's part of Azmuth's whole thing. Azmuth falls out of power. He's in with Jay and Krista the whole time. He was never not in power.
Yeah. He's a athletic guy who is literally in every majority alliance throughout the season, which good for him. I'm not taking anything away from him. That's actually a good thing. But yeah, I don't get the whole underdog thing. And just because everyone's rooting against you, you still have like the best, you have the other best player, Azmuth, like the best, at least competition guy, Azmuth on your team. You're in no way the underdog. Krista was the underdog here. It would have been cool if she won. But Ben wins and
yeah.
You, sir, are no Ben Dreebergen.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Going back in the time machine, we could say that now.
That's the show.
He's like, yeah, if you were to rank him, like he's better than at least one Survivor Ben that I could think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot better.
Yeah. Better than Samoa Ben. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a low bar.
It. Okay. And, you know, Benry, maybe. He's like Benry-esque.
Yeah, would kind of be like Benry winning. He's probably a better, I mean, Benry was like probably a fine, like, athlete. I don't know. Ben Fagan is probably better than Benry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. What are you going to do? All right. So let's just talk big picture. Now we've watched Fallout Pirate Master.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I can like put it on my headboard of like, okay, another reality series now watched of Pirate Master. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Aaron, what's our takeaway from Pirate Master?
I feel like the takeaway from Pirate Master is don't abandon a project too early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think your games through. I feel like had there been a second and third season, there could have been open discussion of just revitalizing the game design. I mean, we saw that with Survivor. We've seen it with Big Brother and the Amazing Race of mechanics brought into later seasons that really kind of shaped their own respective games into the things that we know and love today. Yeah, I feel like they just cut the cord too soon on it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my biggest complaint with the show is that the competitions all felt very repetitive, very long, hard to follow, easily hacked. One team cheats, like one team figures it out, the other team cheats. I don't know necessarily like how we could necessarily do Pirate Master and like get out the expeditions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that could even be the editing, right? Where you could just show less of the expeditions. You could sort of yada yada through them. And, you know, just because it's a long challenge doesn't mean you have to see a lot of the challenge. But yeah, they were so long. And I think the repetitive factor was definitely a problem. And I think just like we were talking about before, have different stations for the two tribes. So if they're doing an obstacle, they have to complete the obstacle. But I mean, look, it is a pirate themed show. I mean, some of it, if it were in HD, I think it would have looked a lot cooler, to see these challenges. So I think they were like impressively built. I mean, yeah, they had to like put the,
no doubt they spent a lot of money on it. I just like that in terms of that, it was very repetitive.
Oh, I completely agree.
You know, I don't know. I just feel like that we could have done different things that like maybe like had it been just more, instead of like the same exact thing, go find the treasure every single time. Like, I just wonder if they were, did we need to go find the treasure? Could they have just been done like Survivor style competitions and played for who was going to be captain, like red team versus black team, and they're playing out like an obstacle course as opposed to, you know, the go on the scavenger hunt every week.
Or go full Pearl Islands with, you know, your keel hauls and your maybe going to a market and bartering and trading and stealing like a pirate does.
That would be great.
Different ways, and you could use the money from the game in different ways in that way. There's certain ways that it could have opened up a lot more.
Yeah.
What I do like about Pirate Master, though, I mean, I think they need to completely, I mean, it's not going to happen, but if they were going to have the show, run the show again, completely revitalize the final three. Like, that doesn't work bringing in the Ghost Pirates, because it goes against everything else in the show, where this is a pirate show, lie, deceive, but now we're just going to have the people who were spurned vote out the most likely the most strategic and deceptive person, which is a flaw. But I do like the idea that you can mutiny against the captain. But what I think, and I was talking to Nick Fishman about this today, I was sort of brainstorming how the mutiny could have worked. What if instead of needing everybody, you need one officer and a majority of the crew? And if that happens, the former officer who mutinied becomes captain, and the captain is out. I think that would have been much more interesting. And I think we maybe would have had a mutiny at a certain point if it was easier to do. I think that would be the main thing to fix it. Fix the final three. Improve the challenges, show less of the challenges, and make
the
it like that.
It was a cool idea. It just never came to fruition. And so
it was never going to happen.
Yeah. Like, I'd like to talk a little bit more about like the good of Pirate Master and the stuff that maybe even like Survivor should be taking away from it. Because I did like the idea, even though I'm not like the biggest fire token person. I like the idea of the ability to sort of like be sort of like, wheeling and dealing with the money, but we never got a chip count though. I mean, that would have been nice to like know, like, I have no idea who has anything. So somebody's like, oh, $8,000. I'm like, is that a lot of, like, do they each have like 70K at this point? Or, what is going on? Louis said at one point, I have $15,000 less than anybody, but we never got an updated scoreboard.
Yeah,
we know what we ended with. We know how much money they had at the end, or at least that they accrued, that they netted from their winnings.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Aaron, could you tell me that, so did the other players get to keep their money?
Yes.
Okay.
So for example, the person that left with the least amount of money was Christian, who left with the $200 that Joe Don decided to give all the crew members for no reason.
But he made money in his NFL career.
But Joe Don got to keep his $22,000 that he had at the end, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What are some other positives, Jordan?
Well, I was going to touch on the in-game currency as well. I think that worked for this, again, because it's a pirate game. I wish we did know during the game how much money each person had. But I think it did work here. And the fact that you have, it's up to the captain how much each person gets on the expedition. I think that's an interesting dynamic where that could play into your social game. People might be more likely to mutiny against you if you don't give them a fair cut of the money, or maybe they might threaten to mutiny you if you don't give them, you could be bribed and to be like, look, I'm going to mutiny against you if you don't give me a certain amount of money. I think that could have been really interesting, but it was just too hard to pull off the mutiny. So that probably wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
If I had to rank, and I remember when I started watching The Genius, I remember thinking, okay, The Genius has sort of perfected the in-game currency. If I had to give a power rankings of shows that I've seen use an in-game currency, I'd go Genius 1, Pirate Master 2, Survivor 3. Because I also just think Survivor doesn't need an in-game currency, even though I think the fire tokens could be done in a way that's effective. I just don't think we need it in Survivor. We already have so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that overall, this was a pretty well cast show. Like, I mean, I think that Krista was a good character. I think Jay is a really good gamer and a schemer. I think that Louis was like, he's not good. He's not going to be, a deceptive, backstabby player. But I think you need like the honest guy who looks like a pirate, the Rupert. Even like Anessa and Azmuth, Jupiter, Cheryl. I think we had a lot of people on the season who were well cast and interesting characters.
Yeah. I will say it's a show that really picked up in the back half. The first five or six episodes are kind of rough, but I feel like that from the time like Joe Don is sort of like on the rise when he's out of power, and like him and Louis, they start a bromance and they try to get back together, and then like the fall of Azmuth, the rise of Captain Krista, and Jay behind the scenes, like I think all that was really good. So I feel like that it's a really strong back half of the season and a bad pre-merge.
Yeah. And then a dumb finale.
Yeah. So again, that's the theme on RHAP this week.
Yeah. Is this okay? So I think that based on what you just said, I think that Pirate Master might be, and in terms of enjoyment levels of the episode, I'm not making any comparison to anything, but it might be the inverse Island of the Idols, where Island of the Idols had a great pre-merge. Mm. This had a really boring beginning game. Then Island of the Idols gets really bad for a bunch of episodes. Yeah. This picks up. And then Island of the Idols actually did have a fun finale.
Black spot on its own resume.
Yeah, of course. I'm talking about in terms of my enjoyment level of the season from beginning to middle to end. I think that this is the inverse of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another positive I would say, I think barring the final three, I think the ghosts, I think, was a positive. The way that they utilized them in the game, I think that round where they came in first, where, hey, you know, if they win, they get the money, but then they just put up people to eliminate. They don't have any power. They're just sort of, and there's no captain. Mm-hmm. So it kind of resets the game. It could flip the game on its head, but it's also based on if they win the expedition or not. So mm-hmm. like it doesn't have any big stakes. Yeah. I also like them at the end. For the last expedition, hey, you know, based off of, did you pay attention to how well people did in the expeditions or not to draft the best team?
Yeah.
And I kind of like that aspect that was
good.
Of it, too.
Good use of the ghost pirates overall. Mm-hmm. I think that mm-hmm. the cast was too big. I think that that was also part of the problem why it got better as there was less people. You sort of knew who was going on. It also was better, I think, when there were two people that were nominated versus three people that were nominated. There was always like the person who was just sort of like the pawn, who was just like, oh, wait, what's going on with this person? I mean, there's so many like purple characters in the season, mm-hmm. like Christian, you know, that we knew him from being, he's an NFL player, but Alexis, you know, Joy, mm-hmm. you know, there's just a couple, mm-hmm. You know, Cheryl didn't do she didn't have a ton to do on the show. She was one of the officers. You know, even Jupiter, like, didn't have a ton going on. Like, especially the female characters were very underdeveloped. Even Laurel, who gets to the final five, is like sort of just like her character is just sort of like she's like, oh, whatever.
I think Nessa and Krista were the two hits there.
Krista was so good, and she was purple the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that I liked that they introduced into the game was the pardon. I really do feel like that was a positive wrinkle into the game. It was another way to use the currency. I do think, like we talked about before in previous weeks, that it could have been tweaked, but overall, I felt that it really worked as a thing. I like that it wasn't introduced at the beginning. I like that it was kind of there and gone. You know, it wasn't like twists don't have to last the whole season, which mm-hmm. is something I think Survivor is guilty of doing. That mm-hmm. Survivor is guilty of doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pirate Master, they really kind of tried things, but if it didn't really work, they didn't keep it for long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pardon was a good idea, but did one person ever use the pardon to, like, they would have been voted out and had the pardon? Did that happen at all?
I don't remember. It was out of play by
on the pardon. Yeah. It was a pardon that you did not need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like basically, if you think you need it, though, it's worth it. Yeah. You know, it's like it's like the veto, right? It's if it could get you off the block. And I mean, I think that this is an interesting. It didn't pay. I don't remember if it paid off or not. I don't think it did, Rob. Again, I have like I watched the last three episodes before this, but the previous episodes I haven't watched in a few years. But yeah, I don't remember the pardon really ever doing that much. But I think in a future season, if Pirate Master continued, it could have had an effect. And I think that with the it works well with the in-game currency. It just, you know, gives that more power. And mm-hmm. it gives also puts more strategy into the captain's decision of how to split the money.
Yeah. Okay. So, Aaron, any other thoughts on Pirate Master?
You know, Pirate Master was a flash pan show when it came out. Was very interested in it. You know, I just it was my new love after Survivor Guatemala, and mm-hmm. I was very glad to see it come on. And yeah, it's a show that has been a part of my life ever since. So I'm glad that we got to talk about it here.
You
I'm
watch it every 7 years. Are you excited for the 2028 rewatch of Pirate Master?
Maybe
it'll be remastered
excited.
By then. Re-Pirate Mastered.
Yes, I would love a Re-Pirate Mastered.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I made that joke already at some point on the rewatch, but it's been a wild one.
It's been a great month. I loved it.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like,
okay.
It's the kind of thing where, is it a great reality show? Is it a great game? No, I think there was room for improvement. And I think if they persisted, they could have improved. But it's a fun watch. Like I've seen it now, I guess 2.5 times. So I haven't been bored watching it. I mean, I think benefited from doing the finale here where I didn't have to go back and watch like the slog of the early episodes.
You
but
didn't go back?
Not all the way.
Jordan, wow. Come on.
Wow.
I've seen it. I've seen it twice. Do I need to watch Pirate? Like, I think Aaron is the only person to watch Pirate Master in its entirety 3 times. I think I'm in second place at 2.5. I don't think anyone's ever watched Pirate Master more than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Aaron, are you the leader of all time watching Pirate Master?
I think so. I really do. And if it comes out on Paramount, I will watch it again.
I don't know if it's going to be on Paramount Plus. I'm not sure. I have not heard that yet. Okay. All right.
Should be.
Jordan, anything else that you want to say about Pirate Master?
I mean, I think we covered it. I think that, I mean, I've always thought of Jay as sort of the Lex of Pirate Master. It really reminded me of him, mm-hmm. kind of looks like him a little bit, came in third place. And, I just think that if Jay wins this season, I mean, look, is Pirate Master still looked upon fondly? Does it get another season? Probably not, because it got canceled in the middle of the season. So I don't think the legacy really changes, but I think the way that I look at it, the most piratey guy would have won. And I think that would have been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think that Pirate Master would be really fun as one of these like ORGs or live games. Like I think you would rebrand it so you wouldn't actually have to make it pirate themed because that would probably cost a lot of money. But if you're doing a live game or you're doing an ORG and you take the Pirate Master rules and improve on them, I think it would be a fun, like just a fun way to play out a game. And I've actually considered doing it. So it's something
that I got messaged by somebody on Instagram that said they did a Pirate Master ORG.
Oh, cool. So yeah, I'm not surprised that's been done.
I saw some clips. It looks cool.
And then you will completely eliminate the really long challenges. So I think you're already fixing part of it.
Okay. All right. So, Aaron, what a ride this was on the how do you pronounce the ship's name? The
Picton Castle.
The Picton Castle of podcasting. Podcast Castle.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this was so fun that we've never got to podcast a series before. And you did an incredible job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I love my, you know, one-off reality TV shows like There Goes the Neighborhood or Great American Road Trip or Pirate Masters. So
yes. I'm okay, all, well, yeah. Submit some ideas for the Listener Choice Month in March.
I will. Yeah. I'll probably have seen it or heard of it. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they pick.
Okay. Aaron, can you tell people where they can keep up with you and share all their Pirate Master thoughts?
I'm on Twitter at AARobertson94. I guess now I'm just going to be diving headfirst into BB Can. So mm-hmm. watching all the feeds, keeping up with that. I do music for a lot of different podcasts and things. And I did some interviews last year for another show that I watched a lot, Endurance here. And Karma recaps.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to those or listen to the Asmith interview. Now that you've heard this whole thing, go back and hear me, Nick, and Jordan talk with Asmith 7 years ago. It was a great conversation. I hope to reunite. Maybe I'm going to put this out there in the universe. If there's any, you know, Pirate Master pirates out there that mm-hmm. want to get another Pirates Court together.
Okay. We might be able to pull some strings. We'll see.
Yes. We'll see. Great.
And Aaron, have you watched The Bridge?
The Bridge? I've heard about The Bridge. I've heard that it's a new up-and-coming
Jordan
show.
Jordan Kalish is watching it.
I finished it. It's only 6 episodes. It was a very quick watch. Okay. I like The Bridge. I think there are also ways, just like Pirate Master, to improve on The Bridge. But I think overall, it's a pretty good show. And I think I think there are ways to make it a better game. But I think it is a good show. And I think actually the cast of The Bridge is better than the cast of Pirate Master.
What mm-hmm. is The Bridge?
So you have a group of people who live in a house on a beach. and there's an island in the middle of the lake, and they have to build a bridge using available materials to be able to walk to the island. And on the island, there's a chest of Zanzibar full of $100,000, and only one person can get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hmm. Interesting.
Okay. There's different temptations around along the way in terms of like potentially money leaving the chest of Zanzibar. They don't call it that on the bridge, but they should.
Yeah.
So it's a fun show.
Is it a chest of money?
It is a chest of money. My guess is it's probably a chest of fake money because like they're not going to put the real money out there.
Yes.
I know for Hunted, I remember Kirk Clark saying that I think it was Kirk Clark who was saying that they like he talked to one of the winners of Hunted and it was like fake currency. So it's probably not real money, but it's fake money at least.
Mm, okay. So Jordan, what else are you up to?
I am still doing Twitch. I'm assuming we have another one coming up pretty soon. Don't know the exact date on that for Twitch Ultimate Trivia on RHAP, Rapids Podcast. Mm-hmm. And I've been on Clubhouse a lot, joining a lot of conversations. I know.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Clubhouse Kalish.
Yeah, it's great. I played some Clubhouse Mafia last night, which it worked pretty well. I mean, look, we knew going in that that Mafia is better when you could actually see the people you're playing with. Mm-hmm. But it was fine. It was like a good way to play Mafia. We changed the rules up a little bit to make it a little bit more audio friendly.
Yeah.
I think it was fun. We didn't have that many people watching it, but we had some. We played two games.
Spreadsheets?
Did not use the spreadsheet. Okay. We actually changed the nomination and voting rules completely.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. There you go. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, who joined us here on the RHAP Rewind. The Rob Has a Podcast Twitter account on Thursday posted the post to get your suggestions for Listener Choice Month in March. So if you want to help us decide what shows we should be watching in the month of March, be sure to check that out. That's on Twitter at Rob Has a Podcast or on Instagram, RHAP Grams. And if you want to make sure you never miss the RHAP Rewind, or if you want to subscribe and come back to it as you are doing a rewatch of either this show or Kid Nation or whatever we do in the future, subscribe at robiswebsite.com/RHAP Rewind. All right. Thank you so much for checking out our coverage of Pirate Master. We'll be back next week to watch a show. Stay tuned to Twitter to find out what we're watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.